I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, man. So listen, I've got a really good idea for how we can, you know, increase our listener interaction, right?
Cool.
I've got this, right? It's a really, like, modern telephone phone-in system. And what people can do is, like, in real time, they can influence where the Pod Shambles goes by dialing in and voting for an option.
Oh, what? Like a sort of, like a live chat?
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's one of those really...
Like they used to on PBS and stuff in America where they'd have, like...
Yeah, oh, yeah, because that's a good reference, isn't it, Paddy? But yeah, I thought we could try it out now.
Hello! You have reached Pod Shambles! Congratulations! Control the conversation from your phone! Text Shamble 1 for option 1.
Paddy is somewhat skeptical of the idea.
Or text Shambles 2 for option 2.
Paddy is accepting of the idea in general.
Or text Shambles 3 for option 3.
Paddy insta shits and cries.
Vote now!
Thank you for voting.
I'm not entirely sold on this.
Well, that's
thing.
Very uncharacteristic of you, Paddy.
Well, no, I just think, like, you know, like, we've already got the new mic and we're now using new programs and
it's fine, man, it's part of the resolution.
Share it all on Facebook and on Twitter, and now there's Pinterest and there's all the new LinkedIn. Oh, great. Thanks for all of these various options. While we're at it, why don't I just go and get a hammer and...
Hello! You have reached Pod Shambles. Congratulations! Text Shamble 1 for option 1.
Paddy continues his pseudo-skeptical rant about the state of modern technology and social media for ages.
Or text Shambles 2 for option 2.
Paddy gives up uncharacteristically easily.
Vote now!
Thank you for voting.
What's that, man?
I don't know. I don't really care.
It's very uncharacteristic of you, mate.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. There's an inkling. I've sort of just lost faith in my argument.
All right, I'll put it away for now because you've got a bloody podcast. I've got the best intro we could possibly have. I've been working on this so hard.
It's oh my god!
Knock people's tits off. You ready?
Oh my god!
All right. So how it goes is.
Hello! You have reached Pod Shambles! Congratulations! Text Shamble 1 for option 1!
Laurie and Paddy decide to go with the fantastic intro idea, and the hilarity that ensues will literally rock everyone's tits up.
Or text Shambles 2 for option 2!
The idea is instantly derailed by a classic Pod Shambles cop-out.
Vote now!
Thank you for voting.
Oh, how about geese?
Honky, honk, 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 honk. Rip my butt off.
Oh, classic. This is a what is it? What is it, Laurie?
Shambles.
This is a shamble.
Hibble, Pod Shambles.
Pod Shambles.
Nice.
I thought you were going to start.
I'm going. Hello, Pod Shambles, and welcome to another Pod Shambles. This is episode 29.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh my God. Almost got to 30. Welcome back. Hello, Paddy.
Hello, Laurie.
It's only been about 2 weeks since the last one. We're doing really well.
Yeah, we're trying to stick to Skedge.
We've got a bumper patch show. Look, we're actually doing admin at the top of the show. Can you believe it?
I know. Look, it's like we've woken up in someone else's house.
Doing someone else's podcast.
Doing someone else's wife.
Hello. Well, I also forgot to say we're Laurie and Paddy, and we're still Pod Shambles.
Yeah.
Hello.
Do we normally say that?
I know, but apparently you should. It's good branding.
Branding.
And now in the rest of the show, and we've been quite busy. That's why it's been, it's only been 2 weeks. We've still been busy. We went to Mogwai last night. That was a fun treat.
Oh my God, that was so good.
They are, if you don't know, they are dour Scottish post rockers who basically try to play the loudest that legally they can in a building.
Yeah.
It was, my ears are still ringing now.
It was so phenomenal. We managed to get some backstage passes because we're so cool.
Just so called the hookups.
Hookups. And and it was at the Roundhouse in Camden. It was so cool because I went to see Faith No More the week before, which was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And
sure.
I love Faith No More. They're excellent. But Mogwai would just better. It was a better live show.
It was like, I mean, you came out of it, so I feel like I've been battered around the face for half an hour. It was,
it had to go and have a little lie down. It was stunning.
Had to go and mop your forehead, wipe your bum for you. It was just terrible.
You guys should listen to them and Belle and Sebastian. Get into your Scottish music.
Get into your Scottish music. Okay.
It's not all Proclaimers.
It's not the Proclaimers.
But yeah, what was that?
Scottish. Oh, we're on the telly.
We've been doing big telly. We were actually on live TV.
Actually, we were on Jinx TV, which we did tweet about, but we found out very shortly before we did it, so apologies if you didn't. But there's a Twitch link up on our Twitter and stuff. You can watch
the whole thing. And we're very good.
We're very good. We're on for the last hour and a half between 3:30 and 5 a.m.
It was basically coverage of E3, which, as we all know, was a fantastic, amazing.
Let's just Final Fantasy VII.
Oh my God! We shouldn't talk about that now because actually we're going to do that later.
We're going to talk with a Shamble correspondent, Zach.
Yeah,
who hasn't been on the pod for a while.
Who is? Oh yeah, he's going to give us the little latest.
Yes, I'm here with the video games.
Oh,
it looks absolutely brilliant.
I've got my leg caught in a rotary mower.
And I've got.
It's going to be amazing. But yeah, we've just got like a couple of things to tick off this week.
Yeah, we did
the illustrious return of Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, get
which
ready,
we
prepare.
Teased last week.
Oh, we teased you.
Oh my God.
One little finger right up your butt and just have a little
wiggle. I've been writing it on any piece of scripture I can get my hands on. I've been writing Bibles. I've been covering Bibles at the library Bibles. I've just been writing bits of Choose Your Own Adventure.
That's a really good gag. You should keep that, Libribles.
Libribles. Yeah. Welcome to my religious text rental service, Libribles.
but you fib about every text you give them.
Yeah, exactly. and then the blind one, which is Libraille Bible, which is like my secondary offshoot company.
God.
It's already gone too far.
I'm sorry.
I keep getting distracted by the sound of children playing outside.
What, because of their happiness?
No, they're happy. Like, we're actually recording in the daytime.
Yeah.
I say the daytime. It's
almost 8 o'clock.
According to my clock, it's 3 in the morning.
You shouldn't take these podcasts.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No time stamp.
It's a flabloodery. 13 in the afternoon.
Ooh, how mystic. No, but like the sun is still shining, there's still chill. But like basically I've been hearing these kids, right?
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Right, because I've been working from home recently and they're all going out, they're playing. I don't think they go to school. I don't think that's a thing. I think they just hang out somewhere. And it's not that I hate happiness.
Okay.
I don't at all. But it's like almost as if their parents have basically just like opened the gates of the child pen. And I don't mind.
The child what? The child's pen?
Yeah.
Or the children.
Where you keep the kids. And like they've just been let loose. And like I found myself, this is going to sound really nasty.
Oh God.
But I found myself sort of daydreaming earlier about like the worst
killing
possible.
Them.
No, I'm not. We're not talking about killing kids, but like, can you imagine just the worst possible thing? Right, it's like, you know, like the dad opens the doors and he's like, run free, kids, run to Paddy's window, scream and shout as much as you like, and little, you know,
this
Oliver.
This is how it works in your head. That's what dad did.
Little Oliver.
Like, go ahead! And if you uniquely know that guy lives on the second floor of that block.
Exactly.
Of
and let little, and tiny Oliver goes out on his, like, souped up tricycle, and I don't know, he's like,
it's kids these days, eh?
And he's going, and his dad's like, fly free, Oliver, fly free, be as loud and fun as you want. And he just goes into the path of an oncoming large construction truck.
You are thinking about killing
kids. No, I'm not kidding, but I'm just imagining, like, me looking out the window being like, oh, what are these kids? And then suddenly, and it's like, he doesn't get hit by a truck, okay?
It
doesn't
go, tunk,
and like, you know, he's just
a pile of...
It's as if we live next to, like an autobahn, and this truck, like, 280 miles an hour, just... And this child, he doesn't even die.
Is this what you think about?
He's just eviscerated. He's just... And he's just gone.
Oh, I see.
And, like, it's like...
so quick that he's just...
Like that, and there's no...
Just all you get is...
Yeah, it's like...
Weep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in like cartoons where there would be like a wheel like rolling off. There isn't even that. It's just
blood and
it's just and he's gone. And it's just
And does he survive? That's the question. Is he transported into an alternate reality?
Yes.
And he then has to fight for his life in a duel to the death with Giganax.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hoping, because I don't want to ever, you know, say.
I would like that child to die.
But I'm just imagining, I just think, one of the funniest things in my mind is, like, instant destruction. It's not like,
it's fucking hilarious, mate.
Yeah, that's the thing, there's something, there is something so funny about something being hit so hard that it just is gone.
Yeah.
There is no evidence whatsoever of it. And I was just picturing myself, I'm like, imagining you setting me out of my little paddy pan. Like, off to school again, Paddy, or like, comedy school,
could
or whatever.
With your lunch in a burlap sack.
And I've got my knapsack. Yeah, exactly. And you watch me walk into the park.
Just immediately.
Just a plane.
Not even a plane. Like the mere space station.
Yeah.
Ah!
And you're still waving as I just disappear.
That would be what happened if I ever let you go.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is why I keep you
that's,
on a lead.
That's why you need to keep me in sight at all times.
Fed and watered.
I think that is key.
Brilliant.
For my survival.
Well, I'm not going to let you near the kids or out of my sight anytime
exactly.
soon.
Exactly. That's not a sentence I was hoping we'd end this bit on, but I guess that's
how
we can do it.
1, 2, 3, welcome to our magic ant farm. The ants are upside down. Silly topsy-turvy ants in magic ant farm town. Here are all the worker ants, this one is the queen. Here are all the fire ants, goodbye ant farm town. That is all of ant farm town. Ant farm town.
Well, Paddy, if you'd like to take a look in my little top pocket, I've got a special, special surprise.
Great.
In the form of our other flatmate, Zach.
Hooray!
Yay!
Hello, he's here.
Welcome, Zach. You made it all the way from over the corridor.
I did.
Well done.
It was quite an ordeal, actually.
I'm impressed. Zach is basically here because I think I've spent more time with him than I have with you recently, Paddy.
Yeah,
noticed
that.
A lot more fun, if I can be really honest. Cause we've
yeah,
done,
be really honest. Yeah, let's get it all out.
Well, Zach dressed me up like a baby and pushed me around in the pram for a day. That was probably highlight number one.
I watched you
from a nearby tree.
I think we made a connection.
I think you
I
did.
Like
I
there was
felt...
a mothering instinct there. And
I'm
was,
an outsider.
It was
now.
Really great.
You are, because you're not dressed up like a baby.
No, that's true. Zach is also dressed as a baby in this scenario. And I'm just in a cape watching from a branch.
Well, maybe I'm not dressed up as a baby, but I mean, you're not in costume.
Yeah.
That's the key thing.
You might think you're a baby, but no, the real...
If I'm wearing a cape, I am in costume. I don't always wear a cape.
You like, would if you could get away with it.
If I could get away with it. Actually, there is a scene in the new play that I'm writing where I play a character who wears a
who
cape.
Who wears a cape.
But the cape is 10 foot long and I'm stood on a 4 foot high chair and the cape covers the chair so it looks like I'm 10 foot high.
That's not been done
And I'm
before,
a ghost
mate.
And I'm wibbling about. It's very funny. It's very funny, actually.
The real reason me and fantastic. Zach have spent so much time together, among other things, we went to go and see, Assassin's Creed, the new Assassin's Creed game, and I thought
nuts.
We'd taunt you
we
with
did.
How good it was
Syndicate.
And how much fun we had. Yeah, we went to...
Yeah,
well,
then you went to Jurassic World.
We did go to Jurassic World. We had a whole time.
Whole evening off.
We went to a weird little East London event for the Assassin's Creed.
We
thing.
Did. Mm. And it also, just to make... I mean, it sounds like a really nice evening. It was actually incredibly stressful.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, we managed to make it so much more stressful than it needed to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's how all events go when any combination of the
but
three
it was
of
because,
us are involved.
So we went to this thing which is in London
hey,
Bridge.
You were involved.
You were. Paddy weirdly.
I ran into it.
Couldn't leave us. Ran into it. So let's start from the beginning. So... Okay. We went to this thing,
yeah.
The Assassin's Creed Experience,
yeah.
right? Because in my keen beanness, applied for an opportunity to play the game, and I thought I'd rather invite Zach than Paddy because I'll get better feedback.
Yeah.
And we went, and it was really weird because when we got there, there were people in period costume, which was weird.
Well, that's cool. At least they took it seriously.
I mean, they did take it seriously. It was a cool sort of brand experience.
Yeah,
But it was, the moment we got there, it was very obvious that it was... they'd taken an area and decided, okay, this is what we're going to do with it. We're going to make it Assassin's Creed. It wasn't for the game.
Because it started off like that, right? And then we watched some trailers and they had some like quite informative information, like, oh, you know, this is based on the writings of this writer. That kind of thing. Yeah. And two trailers in separate rooms.
Both introduced by a douchebag.
Good. And the second guy being like, the thing that we really love about Assassin's Creed is the opportunity to explore that kind of thing.
It's like, and we've heard that so many fucking times before.
It wasn't necessarily being talked down to, but it was.
Yeah.
It was an
irritating. Patronizing, Paddy. That's another word for that, by the way.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, no, I really needed that.
But it was more that like they didn't at any point consider that maybe everyone that's coming to this event, the only people that would sign up would be people who have all played the games before.
Yeah, exactly. And we know what Assassin's Creed is.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, I wonder what the new people who don't know what Assassin's Creed
are. Well, you're an assassin.
Yes. We're going to release it on something called the PlayStation.
But we then got herded up into an upstairs room and everyone was like, oh, great.
How many people is this, by the way?
We were in a group of like 30 or 40 people. Okay. Right?
Oh, so it was really exclusive.
Yeah, but no. But well, we didn't even think. There was like different times you'd come. And it became apparent that we were being herded through a series of rooms on like a time limit. We got to this next one. It was a big open plan floor, and there was like, so what was there to start with?
This was, considering this is a video game experience, there was a barber,
obviously,
and a Victorian barber
using
authentic electric clippers.
Right.
he was there to shave you, I suppose. Which was odd. There was a sort of like a green screen that you can stand in front of.
Oh my god, you have really hilarious photos. Impose on the cast of Assassin's Creed.
It's difficult to describe through podcast, but
imagine the shittest thing.
Imagine the most stereotypical group of people that would go to this type of event, us included.
Absolutely.
Imagine that, and then imagine that on a green screen with
awkward
semi-dramatic poses in front of. Like,
so you get
three...
given like a shit hat and a pipe.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing. There weren't even that level of costume, but it still felt like they were in costume.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't that level, but they all did still have t-shirts that said Assassin across the top of it. So it was like a costume, but it wasn't in that.
I've got a picture of me with E.T.
That's a
similar event about 22 years ago.
When E.T. came out of cinemas.
You get like four photo booth photos of you and E.T., but it was like just at the time as that kind of technology was like, oh, now
really
we might be able to
off.
Do this with the public. And it was just, it looks like someone's like cut out E.T. and glued him onto some photos.
You sure that's not what happened?
It is pretty bad.
Did your dad make that story up?
My dad one day. Wearing a brown sock with some holes in it over his head, going, what is it, Pans? What is it? E.T. will call.
Alien.
He'll phone.
But the other one, in forlorn in the corner, there was this, like, there were like five people in a tiny little room doing temporary tattoos of Assassin's Creed stuff, and it was the cream.
What kind of like nautical?
The logo, which is that's all cool.
As I think about it now, it seems even more ridiculous. Time has set in,
I wonder
it's festered in my head. Now they brought it back up again. I've gone, yeah, that was a thing.
We've gone near playing the game.
This is my next question.
They withheld the game at this point. We hadn't seen it.
If you're being herded through these rooms, how long did you spend in this room when you could have been playing?
So the trainers were like 5 minutes. This room was a good 20 minutes. Like, they
did you
really
get drinks? Yeah.
No. Eventually, but it was a Red Bull or a water.
Yeah, not in that room. It's in the waiting area with the barber.
So we finally got sent up to the final room.
Yeah.
And we saw there are loads of monitors and PS4s and Xboxes, people playing the game. Yeah. And there was a little bar and like this shit rope around the bar. And we got kind of put behind the rope.
Right.
Also, to add to the tension at this point,
yeah,
me and Laurie have been for quite a nice drink beforehand.
We've
got loads of time. We know that we're going to play the game, which is going to be great, and then we know we're going to go and watch Jurassic World.
Like, an hour and a half after work.
Yeah, we'll be able to really kind of slowly go and get a beer and then see the film. At this point, we've been herded through this experience we weren't expecting, and we're standing in an area where people are getting tattoos and shaved before we moved into another area where there's rope that we can't pass while other people play the game. Yeah. Whilst all this is going on, we're going, for fuck's sake, we're going to be late. What time's the film start? How long do you think the trailers are? What do we do?
How long are we so happy all the time? We don't breathe. We can get there quicker.
Now the game is no longer a thing. It's like, oh, this is going to be really fun until it's something that restructs the rest of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But finally, salvation comes. Right, we get through. We get let through the rope by the kind of. The thing is, though, you say that they were quite enthusiastic. They were all also rubbish because you'd ask anyone working there, like, can we go upstairs?
Can we play the
and
game?
And they'd be, I don't know, mate, to be honest. No, sorry, just got to wait. It was just no dressed one knew anything.
Dressed in full garb.
No, yeah, like, some of them just in T-shirts, and obviously. Then, like,
yeah, to add to the authentic brand experience at the end, all the people that are fans of Assassin's Creed, rather than realise they were there to help, they were there to, just before the rope opened, go, does anyone want to pre-order the game and get a special figurine?
Exactly. Because
you pay £30 now rather than £90 later, and you get a small plastic figure. And you're like, yeah, so... We've tried to get your information and help the entire time we've been here.
And now you're going to give us.
Yeah, and you've been totally unhelpful and then gone, okay, also,
hooray,
give us money.
And we play, and then basically the playing the game bit was the worst bit because we played it for like 5 minutes and I just ran through all the story missions really quickly.
Right.
They had like one sequence of story.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, well, I love this game, so I'm just going, quickly. Didn't test anything. I rode a horse and cart for a bit and then it finished.
I didn't think they anticipated at any point that people would just be like, oh, this is an Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, cool, I'll just play it like a game. Yeah, like,
Whereas everyone, but then at the same time, it was more, I think, because me and Laurie are both like, okay, we've got to get out of here pretty soon. Let's get as fast as we can. Whereas everyone else sitting around us was like, oh, look at this building.
Look, he's got a top hat.
Take it off, put it on.
I'm imagining, like, this, whilst you're playing it, there's a guy dressed as a sort of, like...
Won't you play my fun game?
Yeah, exactly. Like, now, how will you kill the evil Earl? And you're just like, well, I know, I guess I'll go on that roof.
Good shots, my friend.
Yeah, I'll just chant. It's like, perhaps you could use your hidden blade. It's like, yeah, I've fucking done this.
He's dead. They're all dead.
Will you learn how to counter? Yes, it's the same countering system. But I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it.
It kind of weirdly shaded my opinion of, this is a seamless segue, my opinion of E3 when we saw the footage again, right? Mm. And also, well, actually, this is just after we've seen all the, shaded my overall opinion.
Mm.
But I was going to ask you guys, seeing as we've got some gamers in the house, am I right?
Yeah, am I right, guys? We're the game man.
What were your E3 game man moments?
Game man.
Big game man. You have to be very careful how you say that.
Yeah, exactly. E3 big game man moments.
What were your big game man moments?
Okay.
2K15.
All right, Zach, you start.
I have two.
All right. Taking liberties.
Come on our podcast, give two games we asked for one.
You set me a task and I've decided to just run away from that.
Yeah.
Got my own task. It was more like, I've got a game that I'm really excited about and I really want to play now I've seen
which
it.
Which is
Uncharted.
Oh.
Because I know there were a lot of games that were presented that were doing a hell of a lot more sophisticated things, like games that you guys will come on to talk about.
Games that have
introduced massively open world fantastic experiences with lots to do and a lot to get involved and get you stuck in.
Yeah.
And Uncharted seems like a bit of a step away from that because it's actually quite a linear game.
Yeah, but it's so fun.
Watching that video, oh my god.
Like, that was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. Stunning.
It was
like,
so good. And you think that because they're competing with such big games that have got so much to do, they have to do so much more.
Yeah,
to get that kind of recognition, and they fucking did it. That was amazing.
It's a game that accepts that it only gives you the illusion of choice, which I think is really cool. It doesn't try and shade it with this sort you can do anything. Yeah. It's like, no, you have to get to the bottom of this hill. You can drive down this road, but there's a tank on it. So why don't you go right, and then you could go through the favela.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could, and like, you feel awesome.
But the entire time you're doing
that,
that,
like, oh my god,
yeah, it's
this
like
is
watching
so...
a movie. Yeah, right? Like the entire time you're watching that, you're thinking, there's a guy fucking playing this. How is that a thing?
No, but that's
I'd watch this, I would happily watch this for an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's the thing. It gives you that illusion of choice, but actually you instinctively pick the cinematic choice, don't you?
You're never bothered, I'm going to
sneak around and pop this guy in the back of the head. I want to drive a dirt bike over the fucking fence.
Yeah, exactly.
Bomb everyone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Flip off everyone.
Somehow survive.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
As you said, Paddy, the game itself doesn't shy away from that. I think it's so much stronger because of it.
Yeah. That trailer was insane.
Because it funnels money into other stuff. It funnels money into, one, it looking great. Like, the way the little the models interacted with one another was amazing. Like, you know, when you're playing a video game, Assassin's Creed being one of those games where you're running into someone, and rather than him interacting with that thing in front of him, he just runs into it and bounces off of it. There's none of that in this game.
Everything is actually responsive how
it would be in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
And it looks incredible, and they don't shirk with the story, they don't shirk with the dialogue. Yeah. Like, you're not listening to it going, fucking hell, who wrote this?
It's
a good experience.
Uncharted
because they're not
mega.
Giving you as much big stuff to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a valiant show. What's your other one?
My other thing was not a game, but something that quite legitimately blew my mind was HoloLens.
Oh my god! Did you see the Minecraft session they did?
What the hell is this?
Did you see that patch?
I saw bits of it though.
So it's their virtual reality thing, right?
It's their augmented reality. So it's not like a VR as it is with Oculus Rift, which is placing you in a virtual world and you're completely consuming that world. This is taking your world and what you see and the way your eyes are moving.
Yeah.
And objects around you and augmenting world on top of it.
So it comes like what they were starting to do, the Kinect, when they started projecting
stuff in
your living room. Like it's
like projecting in your living room. It's like the only thing I can kind of think to describe it is, you know, which is weird, but like, you know, in the Avengers, when he's talking to, Iron Man is talking to the AI.
Yeah, oh, it's a Jarvis.
Jarvis. It's projected out. It's not on anything.
It's
hovering on a table. That's what this is, just with glasses.
In that Minecraft video, they showed this guy with it on, you know, still kind of kooky-looking goggles, but he pulled up someone's Minecraft world and zoomed in, and there was like, oh, look at this bit, and he was just manipulating it all with his hands in front of him. That was so cool. And then he went, I want to play, and then popped himself right. He went, I want to go here. And went down.
And then he was doing things like wherever he was looking. Yeah. Like, he was looking somewhere. He wanted to set fire to something or blow something up. So he was looking at it. Because of where his eyes were looking at the augmented reality map, and he said, zap. And the thing blew up.
Oh, my God.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah,
voice control. It was amazing.
Is this for use with what?
It's Microsoft.
It's Microsoft,
I think it's 360 and PC, I think, if I remember right.
They must do on PC if they get, like...
Although I think that's probably a lot harder to control.
Not 360.
Sorry, you know, Xbox One. But it was... and like, I remember the guys, when we did Jinx, the guys saying that it's... People still haven't really... Yeah. This clearly not the actual final thing that they're going to be doing with that tech.
Yeah.
But it's just, it just blows your mind when you think what they can do with
it. I think the HoloLens is something
that, you know, in 3 years' time, there'll be games that they unveil sense with it.
We're looking at this now and being mightily impressed with it. And that's incredible. Yeah. And then you're also thinking, wait, this is like the very... beginning of this.
Where
are they going to go? Yeah, without sounding like, as in, there's no way to say it without sounding like a bit like a
douche.
No, not at all.
This is
the beginning,
future,
guys.
This is we're living the future.
We're going to catch up in a year and it's going to have crashed and burned. That's going to happen.
Or we'll all be just sitting there going, like, looking with our glasses, projecting the pod shambles onto the screen.
That'd be horrible. No one would enjoy that.
And you can come and sit in a room with us whilst we scratch our feet and occasionally look out the window.
Our HoloLens is presenting a horrible audience. HoloLens for them is presenting a horrible us.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's enjoying it.
Pat, what was your favourite before you start talking about your pumice stone?
Okay. My favourite, I'm probably also going to do two, because
Fucking hell, what is this?
Yeah, no, well, Zach set a precedent, and you know what? This is a coup, mate.
It's true.
No, I'm going to go with... I've got two.
I don't respect your rules.
One of them I don't have much to say about, because there wasn't much about it, and that's Mass Effect Andromeda. Just like, all they showed us was a minute and a half, or whatever it was, of a guy,
cinematic.
Effectively, HoloLens stuff, where he's cycling through all these different worlds.
It's a couple of steps before he can stamp people.
And then he turns around and he walks into the camera, and then suddenly he's on that world in the Mako and he's blowing shit up. Oh my God, it looked fucking mad. And like, I was saying to you before E3, I was like, that's the one thing that I really want to
be
announced.
One knew anything. You Mass Effect 4, Mass Effect Andromeda, no one knows anything about it.
Exactly.
It's a new setting, same tech, same obviously, so you're still
it's
N7.
Is it a different time? Was that established?
No one knows. You don't know. It's literally
just the same.
It's
universe,
a new setting.
As far as we're aware.
I think it's a new galaxy.
It's in the Andromeda galaxy.
The Andromeda galaxy.
But it's like, you know, the
and
same
everything's
universe.
And everything's recognised.
Oh, yeah, same aliens, same story. Cool. Like,
well, you don't know about it.
Different aliens, but it's in, like, you know, the same.
It's going to be fucking amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really cool.
And number two?
Number two, for me, is definitely Final Fantasy VII. Oh, my God. Because there was a big group of us sat at Jinx, all watching it as it happened, like, watching the conference on the big screen. And it was like, not even just the presenters, every single member of the office staff, like all the guys doing Twitter, like everything.
And also, we were watching another commentary stream. You could hear their breath.
We all came and sat on the sofas and watched it as it happened. You see the Mako energy lines come across, and we were just like, oh my.
It's amazing. You know, they've, because it's something they've teased, and like, they've been rumours every year for about 5 years of they're doing a remake.
And now,
when it came up, people were like, and then it was immediately followed by Shenmue 3 and something else.
Yeah, and like Last Guardian. These things were being confirmed. But that
was,
I wasn't expecting to be confirmed,
on the fucking
and it was just like 2016. That's all we got, and we got like a two minute cinematic. But the cinematic looked amazing. It looked like
and you saw Barrett.
And you saw Barrett. Everyone's happy. It's going to be fucking. That's going to be like that's going to blow my mind.
That was a drop the mic moment for them.
Yeah,
which was cool. And I mean, I'm not a massive Final Fantasy fan. I know you guys are,
but you can appreciate.
But I can appreciate that when that happened, the whole crowd went. Oh my god, this is actually happening.
And the thing was, it wasn't out of the it wasn't like, oh, that was their big moment. It was like every 3 minutes of their presentation was like, oh, and this, like that. So, like, whilst Microsoft just cowers at the back, like, oh, we thought we were really cool.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah, they did. Wasn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was just so good. What about you? Top two?
Sorry, Ted, do you want to do that?
I was actually going to say, which actually unintentionally segues into Laurie's thing, that the drop the mic moment was from Bethesda.
Yeah.
In their conference.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they just straight blew up. The roof off the entire place.
Oh my
with
god.
Their presentation straight away. And it was it the just... opening presentation to the whole conference.
Like when you,
and
when...
they were like, fuck you, all other companies.
Yeah. 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 Oh, you know, we're amazing. Machines that are stuff, you know, we grace with yeah. our stuff, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
No, as soon as that, I mean, even like Doom and stuff looked amazing. And the yeah. new Dishonored trailer, the Rabbit yeah, is Fallout yeah. 4, man.
Fallout
and I,
4.
I kind of tolerated Fallout 3. I eventually completed it. But yeah. like, I don't know, like, I found it really tough and really... And it was largely because I played it about 5 years after it came out.
Okay.
Really clunky and
did
really
you play
awkward.
The earlier games? Did you wait
I to? Did, but, yeah, for about half an hour
okay.
when I was nine, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
game I've got into. It was just... It's got a dog. It's an Alsatian.
Yes, it does have a dog.
But it still is, like, a big, beautiful RPG. And yeah, it still looks yeah. like I can get lost in it. But it's much more vibrant and, like, ooh. Populated.
Yeah.
And the art... So, oh, my God, I'm really excited to play it.
This what looks like the power they needed to do the other games is now finally here.
I don't know, and it still looks...
They had so much to offer yeah. and they were massive. But you're right, they felt a little bit... Like, they were brilliant worlds, but they felt a little bit clunky.
Yeah.
They weren't clean or smooth.
Especially when you look back
now,
on it now.
With, like, this console, they've got smoothness plus what there is.
Plus
because you forget, like, for a lot of other games, near photorealism is a given now. For a big, like, if you're playing a big AJ RPG, it's all beautiful. If you're playing a sports game, it's all beautiful.
Mm.
A racing game, you know, lifelike.
Yeah, exactly.
But because it's so big and you have to pack so much in, you're right, it's the first one when it started to look... It's not even realistic, but convincing as a world. And that was so beautiful about Final Fantasy VII as well, is that which we remember being three squares and a triangle is suddenly fleshed out in 3D.
And we got a taste of that when watching Advent Children.
Yeah,
when that movie came out, I was just like, can you imagine if they fucking made that game like this? And now, 4 years, maybe even 5 years after Advent Children has come out, that now doesn't seem illogical that graphical capability... is going to be inside one of the best games ever made. Like, it's going to be fucking stunning.
Is it a million miles away to say
what?
That Jurassic World will be real by this time in 10 years?
Yes. And
yes.
No.
Which dinosaur will you
definitely
be?
Definitely no. I will be... Megalodon.
Megalodon? That's a bad mastodon.
Mastodon. Yeah, I will be mastodon.
Okay, the... bad mastodon.
No, I'd be a consnogophus.
Good.
Right, they're like the 2 foot high little. They're like the chicken
bam.
Rat.
That was such
like
a generic
description. Velociraptors like that.
Yeah, but they're like the shit one of them.
Oh shit!
They're like
I thought Velociraptors supposed to be a shit.
Yeah, they're also meant to be like a fucking.
Let's not act like we know what he's talking about. He just said, yeah, they're the small. That wasn't in any way.
But what I'm trying to do is
he made up a word.
What you find out after ages of doing this podcast is you just have to go with it and you just go, yeah, lovely, well done.
Yeah, let me do.
And you give him a sugar lump and you carry on.
Yeah, he's like, stop referencing sugar lumps. Like that.
On my humps. On my humps.
Yeah, like, you have to, there's a certain amount of grace given to me that I think.
See, because you've already derailed this, which was meant to be a lovely switch.
I don't warrant it a lot of the time.
No,
but
he didn't need that audience. He's not like, you know, he's not in need of us walking around after him every 2 seconds going, it's all right.
But it helps me flow.
It does, it does.
Like a river.
Like Big Bro taking over the show. Guys, I think we've done E3 justice.
Okay.
Let's go and tug ourselves off for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go and just
burn
our eyes.
We've moved on to Paddy. We've somehow segued onto that.
Segued into Paddy and his awful being.
This is everyone in this flat tugging off tonight.
Thank you very much. Now, for Choose Your Own Adventure.
It's time for some sort of adventure. Podshambles adventure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Adventure time faces the shamblers. Where would we be this week? It could be a cave, or a hole, or a lake, or a mountain, or a feast, or a pie, or a back alley of a Nando's. Where, where could we be? It's an adventure time for you and me. Let us cross hill and dale, through the forest and the vale. We're flagging the Dorp and Barbasa. Let's sail on the magic train, the magic train. Adventure train, the magic train. Where will it go? Who even knows? It's adventure time.
Adventure time!
Adventure time on the Porchambles tonight.
That was lovely.
Well, look who's been a busy boy. What is that I see before me? That's not the old shit-stained rags you used to write stuff on.
No, it isn't, mon ami.
What have you got there?
What we have here is this.
What is that? That looks like...
This is something. Choose Your Own Adventure 2.0.
Hold my nips and call me Angel.
Oh, yeah. We're not using any of that raggedy
old... What is this, man? This is a bit of an upgrade.
Yeah, man. This is the legendary Tome of Argos.
It's a jotter
it's
from Argos.
It's an Argos jotter that has the words Choose Your Own Adventure written on it. Because I feel we've come far enough to warrant it actually being at least partially written. So here we go. This is the upgrade.
We've got him doing it. So what does that mean with the new book? Does that mean you can draw ever more phallic pictures?
Allow me to explain.
Okay.
Right. Please so do. What we have here. Do you have a pen? I've brought everything
this?
In.
Yeah,
thank
you.
So what this allows me to do is through the medium of what I like to call writing. Yeah. I get to keep track of what you're doing and what you're up to at all times.
Does that mean I actually get a kind of functioning stat system?
Exactly. Oh. What I realised is that over the, 6 or 7 hours we've done it, I've basically made everything up.
No! What are you talking about?
I haven't remembered a single thing you collected any of this kind of shit. And it was starting to get a little bit confusing.
Well, for you and me both, I think.
What I've done is I've done you a character sheet.
Okay.
Which is here. You can see at the top, it says Flagon.
Flagon, yeah. Right. Class, street magician, / conjurer of cheap tricks, / shit magician. I don't think any of those are in D&D 4.0.
He's a shit magician. Yeah, no, well this isn't D&D, Barry. This is better than D&D.
Level 2?
Yeah, I think
all of that fanning around, I got to level 2.
Oh, actually, you know
I'm not surprised.
End of last episode, you killed Captain Jack Bastard.
All right, you're going to give me some... sympathy.
No. And
XP.
As we all know, takes you to level 3.
Oh,
dun
wow.
Da da da, you're level 3. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you. It means you're slightly stronger, mister. It means you're slightly a bit more wise.
I'm not enjoying the musical bed in this episode.
I mean, so basically, you're now level 3. I think that was a good decision we've just made.
Well done.
And
team.
Look, for gear, I've got you down as stick.
Yeah,
that was what you had, right? You had a quarter staff, but it's a stick.
It's a stick.
You've got magic book.
Magic book. Yes, which gave me actual magic spells.
Yeah, because also, you now have magic, and that's going to be something that I think will feature quite heavily from now on, as it was getting a bit tough to keep coming up with jokes as to why you don't have magic.
So, for all intents and purposes, was a fantasy setting.
But for the funness of not having it, you still have your magic bag of tricks.
Oh, is that all my...
That's all of
W.H. Smith magic set.
Exactly. That's all of your, like pound shop
My droopy wand.
Yeah, exactly. Your droopy wand.
Yeah.
Your rope cutting thing. Your bit where you pick up the rope and you tie the knot. Rings, you know.
And the entire Victorian drowning cabinet apparatus.
Exactly.
Just so I can do that if I want to.
Yeah. Your elaborate mirrors tricks. All of that. And little smoke bombs. So... And before we go any further, can you remember anything else you had? I think you had some chainmail that you got off the king.
I think, let's pretend I lost it.
yeah, not even in a fight. Look,
just left it behind. Went to the swing pool, didn't clean out my locker.
Exactly. So for now, you've got your motley.
Your little cloak.
Yeah, your little jester cloak. I'm even going to write that down. Jester cloak. Which adds
banging
plus one fun.
Is that an official stat?
Yeah, fun is an official stat in this game. Yes, your powers. Right, you've got vault. Do you remember where you can jump? Yeah, you can jump.
Jump over Pegasi exclusively.
Bash, which is basically hit.
Twat with stick.
Quarter blast, which I think is
elaborate. Basically, elaborate hit.
Exactly. You've got magic brackets real.
Oh yeah, but we don't know what that is.
No,
yet.
Exactly. You basically are going to have to just conjure shit and magic fake, which you know, like
I am adept.
You know, or
level 99.
You've got a bunch
magic.
Of friends. You were on that adventure train. You've got some lovable companions who I think
we'll
run into.
Where are we starting, man?
Let's go. Fuck it. Yeah,
let's dive in.
Let's just do it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Choose Your Own Adventure Part 2.
This time, it's adventurous.
Dun, dun, dun!
Okay, this is not building the drama. Where am I? Set the scene, come on, man.
You awake on a train.
Oh! It's the Adventure Train
season 1!
Yeah,
okay. So basically, months have passed.
Okay,
since you...
What have I been doing since?
Right, so you completed the cave of Captain Jack Bastard.
Yeah.
I can't remember why, but everything was fine, basically. You get that. Barbosa is really happy about it all. I think that was his enemy.
We made out a bit.
And then
it's
you got a little bit arrogant now that you're level 3, and you've basically just wasted 3 months. You've been sitting on the train. You've been hanging out. You've been playing cards.
Reading some Naughty Lady magazine. Lady Dwarf magazines.
Yes, studying the stars with Terry, you know, yeah. like plotting your course with Barbossa, drinking with Shelley. Yeah, all of that has been going on. But, like, you, that started to wane. That's okay. No longer fun.
Okay, now I've basically. Got to... I'm hunkering for adventuring.
But I think something might have happened on the train that might bring us back into
the action.
I
don't think that's how DMs are meant to do it. I think if you go to... Something may happen.
Ooh. Okay, so you are sat... You've just woken up in okay. your cabin.
Well, I'm going to go and check in with everyone. Let's go see... who am I closest friend. To at the moment?
Well, remember, you've got Barbossa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Presumably he's at the wheel of the
he's
train.
He's the helm.
He's actually got like an old...
he has a wheel.
Like a pirate yeah. wheel. Yeah,
that does nothing.
Yeah, but he like turns it really... Because trains only go a long track.
Yeah, exactly. He has to be in constant radio contact with the points masters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he has a...
I'm turning left! Aha! The left!
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he's at the top, so presumably he's furthest
he's
away.
He's at the helm. You've got Terry in the sort of garden... Sorta. Train, garden bit. He's got a garden on the train, right?
Sure.
Phil, which, as we all know, is in the engine room.
Which presumably is just before...
Shelley, who's in the pub.
All right, let's go... Let's go see Shelley. Come okay. on. She's an old laugh.
Okay, so you go, and the door of the door of the pub is closed, but there's one of those little hatches.
Oh, slidey hatches. Right, which all guardsmen in all fantasy towns, they always answer the door to the adventure. They go, yes, just with the eyes.
Yeah, exactly. What do you need? Yeah, so you get up to the door, and from inside, you hear this. crashing and... And then the door opens for a split second, and three like local pub flies just get thrown out.
Like of the moving train.
Flies. And you get out too! And then they rumble past you and fall out the door, and then she slams the door again. There's more crashing. There's all that. Something's the matter.
Shit's going down.
Basically. Okay.
Let's, all right, so I'm going to give the old secret knot, which is.
Okay, so everything goes quiet.
Oh.
And then the little hatch opens, right? But instead of a pair of eyes, you see two, like, hilariously placed jugs right, on her chest.
Instead of her jugs.
Won't you take a come and help, Flagon?
Oh, yeah, of course. Cool. Right,
there's all all the bolts coming off the door and all this, and then she opens the door. Right, okay. Shelley is still, she's obviously been crying. Right, she's got sort of like her bawdy makeup is everywhere, her hair's all a frizz. She's naked from the waist up. Right. But something's wrong. She's
What's
holding
wrong?
These two foaming jugs of ale over where used to be her breasts.
Real jugs.
Yeah, exactly. But her breasts are nowhere to be seen.
Which you think they're nowhere to be seen?
What? I can't believe it, Flagon. Something's gone horribly wrong. Is that her voice? Is that Well, did you? That was it, Flagon.
I mean, less shrill is always good.
Less shrill for the benefit of the microphone. Oh, Flagon. Oh, something's gone terribly wrong with me totties. My totties.
Yeah, she's also a bit of Mrs. Doubtfire. Okay.
What's wrong, Shelley? What can I do?
They've been stolen!
God. I'm so shrill. We're going to get a complaint from the police of, like, a domestic disturbance. It's Shelley.
They're long gone, these totties. I woke up this morning, no totties. Looked around the
totties.
I normally keep them in a glass of water by my pet.
Because they're like denture tits.
Yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
But I can't find them anywhere. I don't think this is her voice, but we're going to go with it. I've gone a little bit Paula Gray.
Sarah Millican. Sarah Millican. I've lost me totties.
Right, okay, so her... Right. But she is a straight... You've got to calm her down.
She's topless.
You've got to calm her down.
She is topless.
Is topless.
All right, so what I do is I start humming a lovely little tune and stroking the side of her face, going,
okay.
Hush-a-lo-lo.
Oh, an elven tune. Oh, half elven tune. Sorry, I can't get it right. Okay, she starts to calm.
All right, now I take a sugar lump out of my top pocket and just feed it to her.
She's not a horse. Okay, she comes down and goes,
I don't know what I'm going to do, Flagon. Someone's taking
There, Shelley. What? Tell me everything. What's happened to your totties?
The point is, I don't know.
All right, well, when did you last see them?
Could you please
them?
Go and find...
What information, Shelley?
I last saw them when I left them by the vent system in the train.
Left them by the vent system. That's the irresponsible, Shelley.
Yeah, but it's one of her little places she keeps.
One of her little...
Like, you know, she keeps her tits and she keeps, like, little Mr. Kipling's cakes by every... so that she's always within arm's reach.
Almond slices.
Yeah, little almond slice, little back.
Okay. All right, Shay, don't worry. I'm going to find your totties. You leave it to me.
Won't you thank you so?
She always starts with, won't you?
Yeah.
And then immediately she just slams the door. Like, there's no further conversation with her.
Goodbye! Goodbye!
finish like that, and then you hit back to like, and she, yeah, it's terrible. Okay, I apologize for the levels of the mic. But anyway, right. So now you're out. You're outside door. You can't go back in.
Okay.
It is firmly locked, and yes, also I would hell hath hell, no fury like a woman topless.
A topless woman.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go and see Terry. Let's go see Taz.
Let's go and see Terry. Okay. Yeah. Go and see Taz.
Planet
okay.
To his mates.
Okay. So you get to the garden carriage, which is open to the elements,
like in Snowpiercer.
Yes. Oh, right. And it's got like, and he has this covering in summer and all this kind of stuff. But Terry's out there, and the garden's looking very barren.
Oh.
Right, and you see him, and he's
but
sat
it's the
there,
height like, of summer,
it's,
Terry.
It's actually, yeah, it's actually quite a sad scene. He sat there, like, sort of, like, with his legs down and his head sort
legs
of...
Legs off.
He's got his staff resting on his shoulder.
Okay.
And he's got a crumpled piece of paper in his hand that he appears to be reading.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, well, then I'm going to approach him very slowly, say...
Terry?
Wah, 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 wah! Baba bee, baba doing bang, diggity bang, I can't believe it!
Oh, God, he's got even more!
Bing, baggity bagel! He's now Top Cat.
Yeah.
Whoa! Oh, you got it just in time, buddy!
What's wrong?
Oh,
P.T.?
That's really good!
What's wrong, P.T.?
Look, picture the scene. We're in the garden carriage, but where are my flowers? I need them for my nature magic.
What's happened? Would they all die? Terry, you've been a crap gardener again.
I'm never a crap gardener. The best that New York had to offer back in the day. Planetarium's Flower Shop. That was the name of my very originally named store.
Good.
I never lost a flower once. I had them on the board. I had flowers with all kinds of disease.
Terry, so calm down. Yeah. What's happened? Just tell me what's happened.
Somebody's taken all of my petunias.
Why?
I don't know.
I expect people to know this.
This note.
Oh, give us a note. Go on, have a read.
I'm going to read it for you.
No, but, okay.
Because...
It might not be written.
It might not be written, but I'm going to read it so you get the gist.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
I'm so sorry I had to take the flowers. And then a little hyphen. And then O-F.
O-F?
Yeah, it's like signed O-F.
Oh, I see.
F.
I think you meant O-F.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah, and it's okay. It's kind of like you look at the letter, and he's obviously been crying onto it.
Terry,
a lot.
Can I borrow this, Terry, to try and find out who took your flowers?
Well, I guess so,
Give
Mr.
me the
detective.
Fucking letter, you little shit. Fucking goblin.
If you could only find my flowers, oh, how I would reward you.
Yes.
I believe last time I gave you a speaking stone.
Yes.
I'm also going to add to your inventory right now so that you can speak all languages, but I bet I could find something equally weird that would be helpful in the next quest. If you find my peonies or whatever it was.
It was petunias.
Petunia!
Terry. Have you been drinking again?
I've been drinking so much, and I've been smoking the opiums.
Oh, them cracks.
Oh, them cracks.
Okay, Terry, stay here, stay safe, have a sandwich.
But
and
before
be
you can
bit.
Finish talking, he's okay. Locked the door. He's finished
talking. Why is this a recurring feature?
Locking
Am
a door.
Am I not welcome on
and
this train?
No, because it's the garden carriage as well. There isn't a wall around the door. He just has a door that he's put in front of you.
So technically, I'm still in
and
the carriage.
He's opened the hatch, and he's gone, and don't come.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Back until you find them. He's really upset.
Okay, so, yeah. I can forgive that. Well, and then we've had a lot of fun times.
You hear him going off down the garden with his hoe, like raking shit.
I can hear it's definitely not a rake or a small hole.
No, no, it's specifically the sound of hoeing. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll leave him to his hoeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it seems like there's some kind of crime.
Yeah, all right. I better get up the front of the train. I don't know if I can deal with engine room Phil.
Okay, but, no, that's understandable.
But let's go see Engine Room Phil.
Okay.
Because I feel like people want to hear from him.
Okay, so you make your way down the train, down to the depths of the train.
The engine room.
Right. Basically, yeah. And
it's very much one level train.
Closed door. Right, closed door, right. Yeah. Behind the door. Yeah, behind the door you hear this.
Phil? Phil? Phil, it's Flagging. Phil? Phil? Phil?
Yeah, like there's footsteps, but there's also cluck, 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 because remember he's got all the legs
Yeah, okay.
And then the hatch opens and it's just his ears.
Yeah.
Because he's not tall enough, because he's very underdeveloped as a person.
And a character.
Yeah, and a character. And just see his ears.
Hello.
Phil, can you let me in, mate? There's been some strange goings on this train.
Sure.
Right.
this is already a trial.
You hate him. Yeah, and then there's just, as opposed to all of the locks on the tavern door, there is one single bolt that very slowly goes.
He's making that noise.
Very slowly. I just opened up. Hang on. Hold your horses.
He started jokes now, has he?
He started
horse puns. Like three-quarter horse puns.
Exactly. Hold your sort of horses. Don't get your tail and feet in a twist.
In case anyone's forgotten, can you remind us what manner of creature Phil is?
Three-quarters horse. Three quarters man.
No, is he three quarters centre?
Three quarters centre
and three quarters horse. Isn't that it?
And he's 100% awful.
He's technically only like 4/6. No, like 2/6.
I don't even know the math.
Hello, Phil.
Yeah, so, no, he's still opening the.
Okay.
And then click. And then the door opens very slowly. Go for it.
Hi, Phil.
And before you can speak, Phil interrupts.
Hell, why do you let me start?
Hello, Flagon, it's been a while.
Hello, Phil, yes,
you
it
don't
has
come
been.
Down this no, part, I don't, part of the train.
You're
very
quite
often.
Fundamentally irritating.
Let me tell you about all the things that.
Now, you've got your hand around my shoulder.
Yeah, it's a hoop.
It's a hoop. Okay. It's a hoop. Yeah.
All the things that have been going on
in
the train. I took an 8-week stand up comedy course.
It's really showed.
At a local theatre. Oh, what's that, sir? Oh, how's about them adventure trains?
Yes.
Oh, they don't half go quick.
Phil, listen, I'd love to hear your set, but lots of
come
strange things have been
tomorrow.
Happening.
It's an open mic.
Okay, I'll be there. I'll be. God, I hate open mics.
Right, no, you've immediately calmed him by promising that you'll
go. I'll come for it, don't worry.
Yeah, okay. So,
I'd love to see your set about politicians.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like local horse politics. Agricultural reform is his main thing. So anyway, and then he trails off whilst doing his weak material, and he goes back to shoveling. But you immediately notice that he's not shoveling anything. It's as if, you know, when like someone's husband has died,
and they just carry on,
they still make the table for two.
Very sad.
Jesus, he's shoveling.
That's what I do. By the way, as an aside, if either of us dies, the other one will still.
Oh yeah, like Elijah's cup as well. Like, I'll always leave you like if I ever do podcasts, it'll always be panned to the right, and there'll be nothing through the left ear.
And
So he's shoveling nothing into just a fire that is gone out.
So the train's not moving,
and he's going.
Oh, so sad in the engine room.
Phil, why
and
are you so
yeah,
sad?
Yeah, he keeps
in
on
the
forlornly looking at you, waiting for you to ask.
I'm going to leave it a couple of verses.
Yeah, a couple of
I wish that I was listened to the engine room.
All right, I'm going to ask him, Phil, what's wrong, mate?
Hello, Flagon.
Why are you so young? No.
He's also got.
Is he just an NPC?
Yeah, he's repeating his time.
No.
Makes so much sense, though.
I'm ever so sad, Flagon.
What is wrong, Phil?
Oh, you've adopted my voice as well. Yes. Isn't it slightly addictive?
Yes.
Someone has taken... You may have noticed that the engine train, the adventure train, has not moved in a week.
Yes, Phil, I have. I thought we were just hanging out.
No. Someone has stolen 400 tons of coal.
How, Phil? Aren't you meant to be protecting the coal?
And the adventure train only runs on coal and songs.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much longer I can sing for, but I guess I'll try.
When did the coal go missing, Phil? Start?
Well, I was here on Wednesday, and there was coal. And then Friday, no coal. But on Thursday, no coal.
Okay.
So Thursday.
Okay, good.
Oh, maybe it was Wednesday evening.
Phil,
go and do a five Phil. Spot at the Leicester Square Comedy Club.
Phil, I don't care about your alternative comedy experience. I would need to leave now. I will find your coal, rest assured. Somewhere.
Thank you.
I think
I left it by the vents.
Oh, well, there's a clue emerging.
Oh, and also I spoke to Terry earlier and he forgot to tell you all of the petunias were growing by the vents.
Okay. You're a master storyteller, Pat.
Very elaborate vent system that is inexplicably in every room.
Yeah, obviously.
Anyway, yeah, so he just... And then you realise, before you can say anything, you're being sort of ushered out by his
very
little
gently.
Tufty bottom.
I know.
And you sort of wiggle
aggressively singing the engine room song.
And then the door doesn't slam this time.
No room for dwarves in the engine room. Find my call, the engine room.
Okay.
Magic.
Hey, bye, Phil.
Left it by the vents.
He doesn't need to hush me out. I really want to leave.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, and you've already that. And he's still closing the door as you're miles away.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's three of the four.
So by the vents, then, it would appear.
Yeah, I mean, there's still one person
compelling
you could check in
Let's
with.
Go see Barb.
I mean, he Barbie. Did design the adventure train.
Bubbles.
It is his train. All right.
It's been a while. Okay. How's your larynx feeling for this?
Oh, it's ready. So you get to the door, and, right, and behind the door you can hear... and then, like, sword fighting noises. Right. And it sounds like he's having a fight.
Orlando Bloom's in
there. It sounds like he's having a fight, okay?
Okay. Bust down the door. Let's just go. Not even going to wait for an invitation.
You bust down the door.
Bang!
Right, and in the room is Barbossa, or Begraggle, holding a pirate cutlass, and opposite him is Phil, holding another pirate cutlass.
Phil!
I made it here before you!
Did he stop to tell me that?
Yeah, exactly. And they're sparring.
Okay.
He's teaching me how to fight, so I can deal with hecklers.
Is Phil just you?
Yeah.
Transposed onto
a... And then they both look at you like, da-dun-dun, like, and they're, like, they're waiting for a laugh. Oh, brilliant. And now Phil can leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forever.
He walks past you, somehow through the only entrance and exit to the room, but he definitely didn't pass you on the way in.
I just can't. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And remember, the coal was left by the...
Yeah, goodbye.
By the vents.
He hasn't fallen.
He's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Both are good.
Sorry, me hearty. I was just sparring with
potato farm. So I see, Barbossa. How are you? Have you had anything go missing? I hear all sorts of troubles.
Missing, you say?
Yes.
Funny you should say. I have.
Please do tell.
You might have noticed the train hasn't moved in about a week.
Yes, I had noticed.
Someone has stolen all of my navigational equipment. All of the maps, laddie! Flagon, I mean. All of them gone in a heartbeat. I think it was Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday.
I left the maps
Wednesday
by the vents in the map storage vent.
Why does everyone keep leaving
and
this?
And suddenly,
by the vents?
They were gone, and I heard a scuttle and a bustle down the vent.
A scuttle and a bustle, what do you mean?
A scuttle and a bustle, likened to that of a panther trying to get out of a canal.
So wet and cat-like.
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay, well, it looks like... thanks, Bobo. So look, it sounds like a mystery's afoot.
A mystery's indeed afoot, and I think you're the one to solve it.
I'm gonna
because I have to have my weekly wank.
God.
Shiver my timbers!
Already, he's trousers down and the door is closed on you.
He flicks on his laptop and there's just disgusting pirate porn everywhere.
It's like pop-ups.
Roger, my cabin boy, like wooden leg specials.
Yeah. Download it all from Pirate Bay.
Oh, walk my plank! Is that your gag? You need to gloss over that.
Yeah, exactly. So already he's gone to porn, and but then through the door his little hatch opens.
Yeah.
And you just hear his little wooden whang because his hatch is too low. Right. And he just goes,
I believe the connecting factor might be the vents. Maybe you should check in the vent
room.
How did you know?
Located at the door on the right.
You're making this quite easy for me. I don't think I've had to make a legitimate decision yet.
And then he goes, "What
is this? Just a cutscene? I'm pressing X on the way through.
Yeah, exactly. Dialogue is being skipped left, right, and centre.
The one map that wasn't stolen is the map to the vent room.
Oh, good.
Through the hatch, passed by his wang. Yeah, good. Is this
like
map.
A croupier on a really nice like gambling table?
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Sir's map with my wooden wang.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With a mint, and it comes through, and the map is just one corridor with an X on it that says vent.
Let's go to the vent then. Okay, so let's not waste any time deciphering the map.
Okay, so you hear furious like as yes! you go, no, there's some kind of wood on wood action going on. You get to
why are
the
we talking about pirate wanking?
Okay, so you get to the vent room.
Okay,
big door shaped like a vent. Big sign on it says
vent room.
Yeah, no, not room. The room part has been inexplicably lost. Right, there is also a handle on the door.
Okay.
Right, what are you going to try and do?
I'm going to attempt to open the door.
Okay.
Into the vent room. Oh, is that what check is this?
This check.
That's the worst dice roll I've ever fucking
seen. Let's just take it from this dice. Oh, a six, you say.
A critical door open.
The door opens. Now, as you open it, now this obviously, it's got squeaky hinges because it's a vent door, right? Yeah, but you open it quite fast because you... Yeah. I mean, I'm not steering the conversation anymore. You hear this scuffling, sort of like a panther trying to get out of a canal. And it's like ruffled and bustlings, right?
Okay, and what else is going on?
Well, basically, you can't tell where it's coming from because the room is very, very dark.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
Ooh. Do I have can I make, like, a little fire to see better with?
Shit, yeah, this could be your first outing into magic.
Oh,
okay, alright, so you want to cast a spell?
Yeah. What spells do I have, though? Is it just some magic?
What we ascertained at the end of Cap Jet, like, basically your fingers lit up, do you remember? You had, fire, and then there was ice, and then there was electricity and stuff. Okay. Basically, typical fantasy set, you've got like very basics of the elements.
So like fireball, ice bolt, and like
but I think it's something that with use you will get better.
Okay,
at them.
Well, I'm just gonna try and God, this is gonna go terribly.
Okay,
and I can try and make a little ball of fire to light my way.
Okay, well, just contained in your hand.
Yeah, just like held in like a little.
Okay, all right, here we go. Here we fucking go, magic, mate. Oh shit.
Okay, what happened?
So, all right, this you start to form this sort of like little tiny immolation ball in your hand, right? And it starts to grow and grow, and then it just goes boom like that, and it fires out of your hand, like that, into the side of the room, and it explodes a barrel, right? And inside the barrel is this screaming tiny little boy.
Oh my god!
Yeah, exactly. He's also on
what
fire.
What are the odds?
He's now on fire. You have to act fast.
Piss on him.
Piss on him, quick.
Please, sir. That's what I got. I don't have water magic.
You don't need to go for a piss. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Shit on him.
Don't shit on him. What are you going to do, mate?
I'm going to put him
what
out. Are you gonna do? What have I got? Have I got any water?
Oh, my God. I don't know. You try a water spell.
Yeah,
or an ice spell.
All right, I try a water spell.
Okay, all right. Water spell. Oh, thank God.
Okay.
Right.
What do I do? Like, I conjure like a little rain cloud.
Yeah. No. You describe the spells.
Yeah.
They're
fuck
your fucking
you.
Spells.
Yeah.
What happens?
I pull together all the moisture in the air and I make a little rain cloud and just sits on top of his head and puts it out gently. It's very slow though, so he burns quite a lot.
Yeah. His clothes are now mainly burned, but he's catching his breath.
Okay.
All right.
Who is this guy? Hello. Who are you?
Oh. Thank you, sir. Oh, I am so ever so pleased, sir.
Good, it's a lovable cockney orphan. I don't have those in the fucking podcast.
Thank you so much for saying
that. Have a high-pitched character as well.
Yes, exactly. Another treble
your
character.
Your specialty.
Thank you so much, sir. God, I would have been toast. Brown bread, sir. Brown toast. If it wasn't for that little rain cloud you did.
Now, shut up, you horrible little oik.
Oh, okay.
Have you been stealing things?
Oh, sir. Well, I vomit.
I think he's hiding something from me.
Is this
that bit in LA Noire when his face starts twitching uncontrollably? Yeah, exactly. I've got nothing to hide.
Wouldn't say stealing, sir. It's more apprehending, sir.
I think you've taken some things from my friends. What are you doing on this train, little boy?
Allow me to explain, sir. It is a story of such epic proportions it'll make the very heart weep, sir.
I'm sure it won't.
Oliver Fun, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Oliver Fun.
He stands up, right?
Nice to meet you. I'm Flagger.
Oliver Fun.
Orphan for short.
Orphan.
No, that's Orphan.
That is right. Dreadful.
Oliver Fun with chimney whistles and up your arse with Margaret.
He's all that. He stands up. He's about sort of 4 foot. He's a child.
Okay.
Right. And he's now in like quite burnt, but like sort of Dick Van Dyke style, like chimney sweep clothing. Okay.
With a sweep.
Yeah, with a sweep. Of course he's got a fucking sweep. He's an orphan.
Okay.
Right. And he's got one of those little caps that's slightly too big and dungarees that don't quite fit.
Okay.
Okay.
At your service, sir. It appears I have been, shall we say, stowing away on this vehicle, sir.
Yeah, don't say it like that. Like you've got nothing to do with it.
All right, sir. Well, maybe there was an element of intent to what I was doing. I didn't mean anyone any harm, sir. It's just, how the ever did you find me? I thought I was so clever.
Because everything you saw was right by the vents, you stupid.
Oh, I knew
prick.
It would be the vents.
Why did you take all the coal?
Away, mister. What can I call you, sir?
My name's Flagon. I told you already.
Flagon, what's your last name?
Just Flagon.
Oh. All right, Flagon to Dwarf.
No, it's just Flagon.
Yes, Mr. T-Dwarf, sir. Oh, okay. It is a pleasure. I will follow you to the end of the earth, sir. It is going to be an adventure of such chimney sweep before
you. He's trying to sound a bit like Andy Parsons.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? A little bit. He's a child Andy Parsons.
Thing is, sir, when you are an orphan on a train, you quite rarely vote Conservative.
Maybe the reason I was on the train stowing away is because I could not deal with the increasing fares under the Conservative government ever rising with privatisation left, right and centre.
Or should I say right?
Wing and centre.
I hate it.
We could write his gags. That's the horrible thing.
Anyway.
Okay, so
ask away, sir. I promise
Oliver,
to be nothing but truthful.
I'm not going to ask why he stole these things, because frankly I think it's irrelevant.
But I think you should, sir.
Okay.
Perhaps there is a lovable story behind each.
Okay, tell me your story of why you stole all this stuff. Particularly Shelley's tits.
I will tell them in an order that will perhaps set up the narrative, sir.
Yes, good.
Firstly, I went and stole flowers, sir.
Yeah.
Flowers off that lovable New Yorker goblin thing.
You don't have to
tell
me about
Terry. But I had good intent, sir. I only wish to have the flowers to put on the graves of my entirely dead family.
Oh.
I'm an orphan, you see, sir.
Yeah, I gathered that.
An orphan from the East End of not London.
Okay.
And it's been ever such an adventure, sir, but I had to take them flowers, you see. But I did not know how I would find the flowers, so thus I stole some maps, sir, to lead me to the graves of my definitely dead, maybe murdered family.
Oh, I see.
But of course, the journey would be long, and I knew it, sir, and as you know, orphans only eat coal. So I had to steal 400 tons of coal. It's an enormous amount, sir.
Have you eaten it all?
It's all gone, sir. All gone. I ate it all within an hour, sir. It's all gone. But
right.
Then I started to feel sad, sir. So I stole Shelley's breasts because I yearned for a mother's embrace along my way.
So you just
which
hugged
I cannot
a pair
have
of tits.
For my mother is dead.
Yeah, and I get it. You're an orphan. Mother's parents are dead. Why? How did they die?
Well,
you little scroats.
You see, sir, they were murdered, but I don't wish to talk about it at the moment.
Why?
Why don't we go and get a drink, sir?
No, hang on.
Let's go. I hear there's a town nearby.
I feel very...
There's a tavern called the Lovely Cock.
So hang on, how has he just, like, convinced me that we need to go away? Like, I've got a lot of problems with this guy.
He's a quest giver.
Yeah, no, but sure, but he's just... He could have made all this shit up for all I know.
Please don't tell the others, sir. Take me away from this train and I swear...
Well, but they all want to know where their stuff is. They're all in a state of, you know, mental distress.
Fine, well, we will return all the things en route, sir.
Okay. Except we can do that quickly.
Except the coal, because it's all the coal is all
fuck gone. Phil, I don't care.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. He's awful, sir. He's a dreadful waste of time.
All right, look, we can do that in, you know, montage. We don't need to get everyone's individual reactions to me returning their
okay.
items.
So, okay, very, very quickly then, you see you going through each thing, and there's, like, a scene where you're, like, handing people the things.
Yeah,
and you're, like,
sweating string music behind
it. And Barbossa, you go into the room, you're and still you're still wet, yeah, and you're back out again, you leave it by the door.
How does Shelley put her tits on? That's all
Shelley,
I
know. Shelley, oh,
the straps are like they screw on.
No, she just like hits them as hard as she can. And then they're just, and there's this flash of light, you know, and all that.
And she's reforged.
And then before you know it, you have clambered out of the train, yeah. And you can see nearby. You should have noticed earlier, but you barely leave right the fucking train.
Well, why would
you
I?
See a small what can only be considered a mining town.
Oh.
Right on the side of a quarry. It's quite beautiful. They're mining this sort of green rock, which is, you know, is definitely like a commodity, and it's okay. in the world. It is something that gets used in like fancy, like, you know, porches and mm-hmm. stuff. Right. So you see this mining community, and it looks very, very pleasant. And in the middle is this enormous cock. But it's lovely. And
how is it lovely?
Yeah, but it's not.
Explain to me how an enormous monument to a cock can be lovely.
Because not a wang. This is like a cockney town. It's the old lally cockney town.
Big old chicken.
I can understand where it might have been misconstrued.
Yeah,
my choice of word. But it's basically a building, like, you know that building in Oxford that has the shark coming out of the top of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like that. It's got this enormous hen on top, like, well, a cock on top of it.
Yeah,
but it's really, and it's all built out of the green stone.
Wicked.
And it's actually, it looks pretty, and it looks like the tavern is alight with, you know, all this. This is about half a mile off, but you're, like, overlooking the town by the magic train tracks.
Okay, let's make haste, little orphan. Make haste let's to the go.
Please, sir, a piggyback would be most welcome at this point, sir. You see, my little legs aren't what they used to be.
Listen, rather than a piggyback, I'm going to make you a papoose, and I'm going to swaddle you in the papoose and carry you on my
he
back.
Loves that.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
He loves that.
A bit of TLC.
Immediately, he falls asleep. And he dreams like this.
All right, he needs to keep that down. Can I gag him very gently?
And he's got a sweep still over his shoulder, but he's also got a little dummy that is a tiny sweep. And it's like that going in and out. He's asleep.
Very
and you carry him
very
to the town.
I drop him immediately.
You drop him immediately, and he dies.
Let's go. Let's head for the town, man. Let's do it.
Right.
Half a mile.
That's the
what could go wrong?
That's the thing, yeah. So you start on your way to the town. You can see, in front, there is literally nothing in between you and the town.
It's complete open place.
One, like, sort of, like a Christmas tree, or what are those trees called? Like a pine
tree. A fir tree.
Yeah, a fir tree. That, yeah, like, right in the middle, and it's just this big, big tree in the middle that looks like right now, and it's directly in your path.
Well, let's go and have it all go, you know, via the tree. It's a nice little walk.
Okay,
nice day.
You go via the tree.
Yeah.
And you notice, and you get there, and it's amazing. It's a big, magnificent sort of oak. It's just the first,
just making
first
up
tree.
Different trees as we get closer to
sorry,
it.
It's a big Christmas tree. No, it's an oak. Fuck it. You're like, okay. Once you get closer, you realise, oh, it's an oak. Right?
I'm not that thick.
And hanging,
you look very different.
Hanging from the branch is a little rope swing. Right?
Oh, wicked.
And little Oliver.
No, fuck off, Oliver.
Little orphan.
I'm going to get on the oak tree. No.
Oh,
don't
if only
care.
I could swing like in the old days, sir.
Say, Oliver, you
please,
can wait
Mr.
your
Havelock,
fucking
sir.
Turn.
Please.
Why, Mr. Havelock?
Please, Mr. T-Dwarf, sir. Please, Mr. Flaggins. Please.
Worlds collide.
When worlds collide.
Please, Mr. Flaggins, okay. sir. If only I could go.
But you're already on the
I'm
swing.
I'm on it. I'm having
yeah,
a
and
time.
He's watching you.
Woohoo!
Enormous. You're having a great time, right?
All right.
Okay,
I am.
You're swinging on this swing, and oh, look, it's making you feel really good. You're having
yeah.
a really good time.
Got a massive boner, just
but then
really
suddenly
exciting.
You feel something grasp around your, on like sort of your upper thigh.
My
like
butt.
It's a bit sexy.
Around my butt.
And it turns out, right, so this swing, those weren't ropes holding it up, mate. They were vines. Magic fucking vines, alright? Oh my god, magic vines.
Shit,
okay.
Off.
And the plot, and it wraps around your legs, okay? The bit of wood falls away. That was just thing. So you are now entangled in this thing, and down from the tree drop these two, like, they're sort of like, what were those things called? They're like kind of rat people.
Skaven from Warhammer.
Yeah, kind of like like Skaven, like kobold-y.
Kobold. Yeah,
like that. And they come down. And one of them is like clearly a wizard, and he's sort of flailing like this, and he's controlling these vines, assume. And the other one has got a bow and arrow drawn at you like that. Okay, I think it's time for fucking combat. We are going into proper motherfucking combat.
Wicked, okay, well, but I'm completely constrained by this.
It's been a preemptive strike as well, so you don't actually go first. So basically, first off, guy with the bow and arrow launches an arrow at you. Of course, okay, that's low. As the arrow flies past you and makes like a comical hole in like Oliver's hat, like doink, and kind of thing. So don't worry, you've narrowly avoided death.
Okay, great.
That's
Oliver.
Encounters are now. Okay,
death.
And the wizard, he's just killed, still going about the spell, right? So his turn is effectively taken up by
channeling.
You are
spell.
Now hung upside down by these things that are slowly going up into the tree.
Okay, okay.
But it is your turn because Oliver is, after all, a child, so he
can't help
last.
At all.
You might be surprised. Anyway.
You say I might be surprised.
But it's your turn now.
Will I be surprised? All right, well, what I'm going to try and do is, like, out of both my fingertips, conjure a bit of flame to burn the vines.
Cool, we're going back. Now, because you've already used that spell, you're already getting
a little bit better. Wicked.
Okay, all right, so I'm gonna say, if you're going to... Can't I stop fucking dropping these?
This is awful. Move the asterisk for one.
Bang on a five. Okay, right. So your hands, like, you grip the vines that are holding your legs, and your hands just, like, it's like a little, like a
cigarette lighter.
Exactly. One of those, thing. Yeah. And the vines immediately just, and they coil away.
Oh,
and you see the magician takes a little bit of a blow from it as well. He sort of goes a bit dizzy. And you fall out of the tree, and the two remaining vines on the floor sort of wither into these little dry
wickets.
You're now up on your feet. And because that was successful, I'm going to give you a second go to
retaliate. That's very kind.
Because the guy is dizzy, you know. Whatever.
Okay, let's try something new, right? Let's try a new spell.
Yeah, fucking
I'm
going to
try lightning
at
the arrow guy, because I feel like he might be a bit of a nasty bit of work.
Let's try
and zap him, come on.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to... Yeah, so
okay,
I'm going to
so crackle. How do you do this?
So I raise my hands and my fingers start crackling with static electricity.
Yeah.
And I go, woo, at the bow and arrow man, and hope it hits him.
Okay, all right, amazing.
Like that.
Woo. This is fucking great now that you've got magic. Right, okay. So you go, woo. Nothing happens, right? Nothing at all. And then, a split second later, there is this enormous, like, krakow, right? And, like, the biggest motherfucking bolt of lightning you've ever seen comes down out of the sky. It's like the heavens themselves open, okay?
Yeah.
And it hits the tree, which immediately bursts into flames, okay? And all these branches fall. Oliver is now on fire. Oh, no, sir! And he's running, and his little bottom's on fire.
Is that his thing,
like that.
Being on fire?
Like that. And this branch falls out, immediately crushing and killing the guy with the bow and arrow. So
technically it worked.
But there are now flames everywhere, starting to spread all around.
Uh-oh.
You can already hear cries, you know, cries from the town. Of, oh, shit, and the bell
the
is
tree. The only thing
the
for
one
miles
tree.
Around.
Like, and our only source of nuts. And
from the oak tree.
Yeah, poison oak nuts. It's fantastic.
Acorns, mate.
That's it.
Jesus Christ.
Trees on fire.
Chaos everywhere. Your knowledge of British plants is awful.
And the magician, right, the other magician, the kobold magician, is like, oh, shit, you know, he's panicked, but he's unharmed by all of this. Not that he hasn't been hurt yet. But you look down and you notice that you are also on fire.
Is that the only way I realised? By looking.
So, and if you notice up here, these, my friend, are your hit points.
Uh-oh.
At the moment, you have 20 out of 20. You have 20 HP.
Yeah, and great.
Yeah, you're level 3, 20
healthy,
HP. That's fine. Your leg is on fire. I'm going to remove 4 HP.
Fucking hell, mate. That's a bit savage.
So, there you go, mate. Now you're on 16, right?
Okay.
And the fire's getting worse.
Okay.
Right. But whose turn is it now?
It's
but Oliver.
Oliver, okay.
Right. You look over to see Oliver's no longer on fire, and all of his previous burn wounds from when you last set him on fire as well, because you set him on fire twice now, are they're gone, basically.
Healed?
Yeah.
Is he a little healer? Have I got a little pocket healer?
Would you believe it, sir? I am actually a doctor.
Oh, God.
Dr. Orphan, at your service. I was
MD.
MD.
Trained by House himself.
Trained at King's College London. Not King's, not King. The Noble Lord's College, not London, sir. Oh, I was ever so good in my class.
Right, that's enough exposition.
Right, so
do something.
He comes like he steps forward, and you can imagine like healers, like fucking. I love healers. You know, I love it. Yeah. Like the light shining from and all this kind of thing. And he stands, and it's as if like you know, it's as if this god is going to smile upon him, right? And he lifts up his arms like
that's
that,
the music.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he reaches into his pocket and he starts taking out all these little beakers.
Okay.
Right. And he starts sort of running around and you're and like but all the other what action is frozen because okay. It's turn based.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's running. Dun, 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 dun. He picks up the little vines that were previously you know dried yeah. up and shriveled. He goes and he dun, 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 puts them in a pot. Right. And
then what's he doing? And cast then a spell.
He takes
mate.
Out.
Like, cast a fucking spell.
Like an 8-liter jug of water. Right. That he has in his little bag. Yeah. Right. And he starts pouring it into this enormous beaker like with the plant. And then he's getting like a little heat going, little fire. And he's like heating it, and he's just sat there. He's sat there for.
Meanwhile,
like,
I'm burning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He sat there for like 15-20 minutes. Like, okay, you know. But the action's frozen.
And the gnoll's just like,
They're all watching. The kobolds
checking
like,
his phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's waiting for the turn-based combat to happen. Right, and then he finally goes, "Huzzah, sir!" And he runs over. Dun 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 dun.
Right, what's he got?
And he hands it to you, and it looks like it's just like a beaker of water with these two little like plants in it. Right.
I'll drink it, I guess.
Okay. You drink it, and like, basically nothing happens.
Oh, I mean, what do you mean it didn't work?
It just didn't work, mate.
How? He's like a mage, like a cleric.
Allow me to explain, sir.
Okay.
I am a doctor of homeopathic medicine.
Oh no!
An alternative cleric,
no.
Sir.
There's no such thing as an alternative cleric.
I have an MABCSE in
bollocks.
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 I learnt from the best. Some dick in a hat.
Right.
We all call him Officer Dick. He's a lovely man. The best alternative medicine. He's cured almost 2 people, sir. Can you believe it? They're both dead. But can you believe it, sir?
So how does that help me, Oliver?
It doesn't, sir.
Great.
No, can't you feel the endrons and the...
Endrons.
What is it that they all go on about?
It's electrolytes.
Can't you feel your reiki realigning, sir?
Oh, fuck off.
The chi passage you...
And so this clearly hasn't worked. Right?
Yeah, no, really.
But what he does also have is a tiny first aid kit with him that I'm just going to answer for you here. You immediately swipe an insider like some plaster.
So I just stick a plaster on the
yeah, and some
festering burn wound.
So he is still
leg.
Effectively a healer. But you kind of have to go along with this shit, okay?
Like, and eventually he gives me the antiseptic
cream. Yeah,
he
only lets you have the antiseptic cream once you've gone through with
it. So he's not magic at all?
Well, who knows? I mean, but
probably not.
He's basically
okay.
Shit.
So how many HPs do I heal?
What
were
you expecting? He's not going to be a fucking... He's an orphan.
Is it a sweet magical sweep me or something?
Oh, mate, the sweep comes in later.
How many HP do I heal?
Oh, you heal 3, so you're on 19 out of 20.
Oh, right, great plaster.
Like, basically, I know you didn't really need to heal at that point, but I really wanted to set up that he was a healer and, like,
that's,
you know.
That was just flawed. That was
sort
so
of story
smooth,
element
mate.
That was just really
so
good.
So smooth.
But you feel reinvigorated. I mean, you look down and you see this elastoplast, and it's just done the job.
Done the job.
It's really
well done, elastoplast.
Pops a couple of paracetamol. You'll feel fine in about an hour.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Cool, all right, an hour now.
Great. Well, that's the. He's tried his best,
yeah.
But now the mage has turned back to you, okay? Now, he's now angry, he's on
business.
Fire, but the fire, if anything...
It's fueling
his... Fueling his rage, okay?
Okay.
And so the flames start to whip around him, and he, like, you know, Rasengan from
yeah,
Naruto,
yeah.
Right?
I said that earlier, you didn't listen to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Well, like, we obviously...
Rasengan!
We have the same points where he holds his hands like you did with the immolation bowl, like that, and the flames channel into this
yeah,
ball,
yeah.
And then... Hadouken! And he just fires it. For once, he speaks exactly like that as well. Hadouken! Hadouken! And he's doing this kick behind it, right? He comes straight at you, but you have the chance to dodge. But
okay.
How are you going to dodge? You have to explain it to me.
How am I going to dodge? I am going to... Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my staff out of my bag,
yep.
And I'm going to quarter blast
right.
back. Like in...
Like an attack
like
of opportunity.
In Legend of Zelda,
oh,
when you fire Ganon's fireballs back at him.
Like
I'm
how you killed
spin
Captain
around.
Jack Bastard.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
So
okay.
It's my signature move,
this
baby.
Is your signature move. I fucking love... Actually, you know what? As a special treat, you roll
I think
dice.
I should be anyway,
yeah,
but okay.
You roll it. Nice.
Oh, okay.
Sweet. Okay.
That
so
that's an
the
18.
Rasengan, just like in Naruto and just like in Zelda and just like in everything ever, you spin your staff around, right? And it's
yeah.
like a blur. It's like Gambit,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
when he like whips it out, yeah? And you just like goosh, like that and you hit it and it goes straight back. And would you believe it? It goes down his throat.
I was going to say.
Right, down his throat. And you can see, like, the light of the fire, like, it's moving
King's
around
King's Dongo
his body.
As well.
So he goes down, like, esophagus, like, fucks his lungs, and then it's, whoa, it's into the stomach, and, like that. And then
out of his bum.
Not out of his bum. No. That's not where I was going. And then it, like, sits in, like, his bladder. And
while he's looking like really
and
worried.
Then he just bursts. Oh. Like gore. Fucking everywhere, right? Like, go, and it just spread, and it covers Oliver Fun head to toe, right? And like, and it's like everyone's just like, you know, when something like happens, it's way bigger than you were expecting.
That was pretty exciting. But
that's what just happened. Whoa. And the other kobold's dead. He's crushed by the tree. The tree is now burnt out, basically. The tree's just fucked.
Sweet. I think that's pretty effective magicking.
And then above your head, this little plus 125 EXP.
Ah,
like that like crops up and. Absolutely. You haven't leveled up, I'm afraid.
Yeah, still.
But, you know, it was just a minor encounter. But, yeah, then basically you can, you see the little loot icons, like, come up over their bodies.
What they got. Let's go through their stuff.
Who are you going through? Like, just...
Both the goblins.
Okay.
The kobolds.
Whatever the fuck they were. Yeah, okay, all right. So, the mage, right, the only thing that's kind of still worth...
Yeah.
Basically, in that very
I find
comedy
in a couple,
way,
in amongst some guts.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. In a very comedy way, like, all that remains of him are... these 2 feet,
yeah,
right, with like little bones sticking out of them. Like, absolutely. But there are some pretty nifty little like leather boots on there.
Adidas trainers.
Yeah, exactly. So you slip them off and exactly. But basically what these boots are, they fit because it's magic.
Yeah.
Right. These are, do I just tell, like, is it in D&D, would I just tell you what the item is? Or... I mean, I'm not... I know this can still be on the podcast.
Oh,
I just want to know.
I mean, you can't... It's... I probably it's not being D&D, you can do what you
yeah,
like.
Yeah, exactly, because I know what they are.
Oh, so you can tell me, unless they've got a comedy effect, which would be funnier to withhold.
Fuck it. You know what? Like, you look at them, and you know what these boots are. You're a fucking street magician.
Yeah.
These are... Basically, they're called boots of fleet feet. Right, okay. Fleet feet boots, okay. And basically, they mean... that you are now granted a new ability when you are wearing these boots.
Okay.
That I'm going to add to your arsenal.
Which is what?
It's like a sprint move, but it's not just like, oh, you can run a bit.
But I can use it like once in battle. Like that,
exactly.
Like,
you can, it's like an encounter power.
Wicked.
You can basically... Like, it's not teleporting, so you can't go through
things. I'm physically moving, but I'm going well quick, especially for a dwarf.
Absolutely, and you could use it to, for instance, get from, like, one roof to another by running so fast that it doesn't matter your feet aren't touching the floor.
Hover boots.
Basically, like, very little.
Shit.
They've got,
boots.
Like, you know, like...
There's
like,
little wings
little
the back.
Wings, but not as good as, like, what is it, Hermes? Not as good as them.
Little bat wings.
They're like, you know when a chicken hasn't... yet grown its feathers and it has these sort of little like
little wings they're
but they're really gnarled
barbecue
like,
wings
they've got the lamb on it like little that might they might be part of the gnarled
sweet
just
beautiful.
Left over you have now got them and they're pretty sweet they fit you pretty damn well
wicked
and they're pretty cool and the other guy has just got he's got a pouch of gold
sweet
yeah which Loot is the, like shit. Yeah it's 35 gold he doesn't have very much but like
let's
that's
do it.
Right.
That's well done.
There you go.
Well done, Tiny
you
Tim.
Fucking do it. I mean, last time you only had 2 gold.
Yeah. So
see now you've already you're rich.
I'm fucking rolling.
Hey, well done.
Thanks, man. Is that
encounter over? That's it. You look back and he's dusting himself down.
We'll go
back
to the village.
You're gonna head to the village.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you should.
I've got to face the wrath after
I
destroyed their beloved tree.
You can see there are already people running towards the tree. They're not shouting you or anything, but they're running past you as you head to the village. Like, oh my god, the tree! And you're just like, you're not going to say
phase,
anything. I wouldn't phase them. I'd just let it happen.
Sweet.
And you arrive at the door of my lovely cock.
Turn on the drum machine. Paddy and Laurie invented the idea for Lost, but J.J. Abrams stole it. Bastard.
It's the end!
Yeah, of the world.
I just made us pause for about a minute so I could think of a really good way to
and that was the really
like,
good
this
way.
This is my time to shine, guys.
Well,
this is it.
I think I might replace you full-time with Zach, because so far he's given a lot more.
I've got rambling to do, mate. I can go out into the streets. I can, you know, I can go wandering.
I think you killed that intro. That was pretty good.
Sorry, guys, for derailing the pod shambles.
Intro for the outro.
Zach,
I can like that.
We're going to say goodbye to you now, for good.
Yeah.
Until very shortly, I should say, because you are starting your own very new podcast... called Our Opinions,
Our Facts.
I wanted to join in. Different R's is the key term.
R.
Hang on. So no, let Zach
explain. Okay, explain the wording.
Zach, explain to.
Followed
explain
by
to,
the.
Wait. Explain to the listeners.
Yeah.
At home.
Or out.
What it is.
What is it? What
okay.
is
all
it?
Right. Well, it is.
What is it? What is it, Zach?
God, tell.
tell us.
Alright, well, okay. It's a new podcast, and it's called Our Opinions, Our Facts.
Different
arts. And it's me and my friends.
Yep. Different arts, different folks. Different folks, different arts. Sorry, continue.
Same woman,
there's a
different arts.
We're not involved.
Same woman, different arts.
Oh. it's just our opinions are facts.
Okay.
And that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's just me and my friend Jamie, and actually your friend Jamie as well.
Yeah. You and our friend Jamie, but different art. No, same art.
And basically, we're going to just... The premise is we are very old friends, went to university together, but we don't see each other enough, and we're going to... All the stuff we talk about on a normal basis and on WhatsApp and just kind of... just rambling bullshit, really. We're just going to transfer that into a podcast. And because, you know, we're going to get together once a week, and we're going to pick... 5 things from the week that we like and 1 thing from the week that we don't like, and we're going to go in blind and then run through each other's lists and see what
how
weeks have been.
That's very nice. That's a very positive.
We're going to keep
it's very
positive.
Constructive.
Yeah, because I felt, you know, it'd be interesting to see how our weeks are different as well, which would be quite good.
Yeah.
You know, we both do quite different jobs and stuff,
we'll be listening avidly.
Yeah,
we will.
And we'll probably be in the room next door when you're recording. Yeah,
probably be making small honking noises.
But that's going to be rad, because like I think we've said this before or something similar on this podcast, but I really like podcasts that are like friends talking.
No. The reason I'm happy, man, is because we need beef. We need podcast.
You want conflict.
Yeah,
you want territorial warfare.
For one, welcome a rival podcast under the same roof, because I think we're gonna have a good old tussle.
Are we gonna become like the Jets and the Sharks?
And the Sharks.
Or the Crips and the Bloods.
The Montagues and the Capulets.
Oh, who are we?
Tottenham and Arsenal, mate, already.
Yeah, that is true. There is a lot of conflict in the flat already.
There is a lot of conflict.
Also, I feel like you and Paddy would probably get the better of me and Jamie quite quickly.
Well, yeah, but it depends. Like, if it's just podcast, like, maybe we'd shade it. But, like, if it's physical conflict,
no.
If it's a game of chance, probably not.
Exactly.
Well,
we have the experience on our side. Not the muscle.
We've got kind of dumb butts.
We have the know-how.
Yeah, right.
We have, like,
butts, know-how, same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And we love a good, you know, bit of psychological warfare.
Yeah, we can get that. We can build that up.
Like, we can totally do that. That's where we shine. We're going to be sweet. I've already got a list of ideas, you know, written down.
Is that what this is? Have you invited me on here to psych me out?
The doors are locked now, Zach. Jamie will be recording the podcast alone.
Challenge number one, Zach, if you accept.
No, he'd overpower us within that. Challenge number one. Okay, first, grenade race. Now, grenade race is a little game that Laurie and I are very good at. You and Jamie might not know the rules, but it's a shame
you'll
we won't
pick them
tell
up
you
soon.
Why don't you guys show us how it's done first and practice?
Oh, we're too good at it. Someone knows grenade race. Okay, well, basically, expect a package and you'll know what to do, or you won't and you'll die. Option number two.
Beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball.
I'm going to back myself and Jamie in this competition.
Yeah, but we haven't told you how it's played. It's not balls.
It's knives.
It's beach volley knives. So basically,
it's more like the side of a volcano.
You guys get a volleyball and you can throw that at us, like whatever. But once it gets in our side of the court, we're not throwing it back. We get a case of knives, like all different sizes, and a guy who's really good at throwing them. Like, he joins us.
because we're not good enough even to throw knives.
No, we're not.
Which is notoriously quite easy to throw.
We have the home, you know, advantage.
Of having knives
and a guy who can throw knives. And three, and I used to...
Why is that the thing you pick out? He is describing you two on a volleyball court murdering us.
because you're
a hired assassin, and you've gone, well, why does the hired assassin get to do it?
Yeah, because I can throw knives just as well as he can.
And the third thing that we're going to do, and this is something that I used to reserve for an old argument I used to have with one of my old flatmates, right, who I'm not going to name because his name is Sam. So anyway, what you say is basically we used to play in a band together, but we also played in different bands. And so whenever one of the other bands was rehearsing at the house, in this big room.
Similar situation.
Cupboard that wasn't used.
Cupboard.
Okay, it's cupboard, man. It's cupboard that wasn't used.
We're
the kibbe. What I always threatened to do, but because of practical reasons, never did, was whenever Sam's other band arrive and his wife or whatever, like, basically, I would previously, right, I'd have been in the room, yeah, and I've attached, like, a bit of string to the handle of the closet, but it's, like, magician string, so you can't see it, and it leads to my room, so when I pull it, closet opens, right, and then I've
This is so elaborate.
No, check it out. No, I've drilled.
This is psychopathic behaviour. No, if you're drilling holes for the sake of this brain.
And I don't see you anything remotely close to drilling. We've been together for 2 years.
No, yeah, dude, this is going to be great. Like, seriously, I drill holes in my roof, but then I go into the flat above to the closet.
So you haven't done this.
Yeah, no, I'm reserving it for a useful time. I'm now going to ruin it because I'm going to tell Zach what it is, but he'll never be prepared.
Do you want to skip to the end, mate?
Skip to the end, drill a hole down into the closet, the band are all in there rehearsing, I release a bunch of animals, right? It was called the raccoon room joke, was what we used to say. I said, I'll get the raccoon room.
So we still have to drill a hole as if that's like a tiny little hole.
Oh, no, it's a big hole. It's enough to fit a raccoon through it. And I slowly...
Oh, sorry, no,
I'm filling this room with tiny burglars, right? And they're angry. Like, I put stuff in that room that makes them angry. And then I go back into my room. And then they start rehearsing. And I open the door. They're rehearsing, too busy, loud music. And the raccoon steals all of his shit. And then they go fucking bananas everywhere.
I'm fairly confident that's not going to happen to me. At any point.
Zach, can I ask you
Can I just say as well, if you do manage to pull that off, if you manage to drill a raccoon-sized hole in my roof without me noticing, and at one point release an army of raccoons,
a tirade
of angry raccoons as well.
Yeah, they're fucking livid.
You know what? Fair enough, you've done alright.
Yeah, and then you'll stop doing the podcast.
It's a good... Not only will I stop doing the podcast, I won't do anything again.
No, ever. You won't need to.
I was going to say, I've just got one last question for you, Zach, right? And it's a big one.
Okay. Big one.
Okay. Can I please come and join your podcast instead?
Hooray!
Oh, you definitely can. You're both very welcome.
No, not here. Just me. Well, me. Like
just Laurie.
Pod Shambles Whimsy across the board.
I'll be in it.
No,
guys, I'll be under the desk and I'll have put in another little USB mic and I'll be just commentating on everything you say very quietly.
To hear Not Paddy on the Not Pod Shambles podcast. we will tell you all the details when they're out, but you're not up and running yet, but you will be soon.
It should be next week will be the first one, and it's awesome. Yeah, our opinions are facts, and you can follow it at OOAF Pod.
Oh, I like it.
OOAF Pod.
You can also follow us at Pod Shambles.
Yeah, and you can email us on podshambles@gmail.com.
And also do check our videos. We're still doing some to see with Liam.
Yeah,
we're still going up.
Absolutely.
We are going to hopefully play some banner song later in the week as well.
We're going to start the banner saga. It's going to be fucking rad. Yeah, that's our next playthrough.
That's great.
And
it's going to be great.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff on there. And just keep commenting on Reddit. Doing stuff like that.
Oh, do the stuff.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Secondary soundtrack. This is my voice. I'm now over here.
Zach and Paddy, and they're bombing.
Nights.
I'm sitting this far away. Is that registering?
It's registering. You can definitely... it tends to get loud.
We're purposely talking a little bit louder than we normally would because it gets loud.
So yeah. I should talk like this then?
Yeah. Imagine we get... And no, you can get... You know,
on the count of three...
You guys do rile me up.
We'll all talk at the same time and see what... Okay, three,
what are we
two...
Say?
One.
Then listen, but the thing is, no, shut the fuck up, Paddy. What it is, no.
I want to join a cult.
I want you.
I'm going to join a cult.
Look
at that, you see that?
At any point, did you explain what you were going to
do? Yeah, not like that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.